Art in Seoul is a weekly spotlight on arts and culture in our area and is funded in part by O'Connor Hearing Center in Ann Arbor, dedicated to providing a greater quality of life through advanced precision hearing aids on Zeeb Road in Ann Arbor and online at O'ConnorHearing.com.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art in Seoul. I'm Lisa Berry, and each week we focus on a different art in this segment, and this time we're moving in a bit of a different direction with the art of better living. And our very first guest comes from the University of Michigan. He's a professor of the Ross School of Business, publisher of 16 books, co-founder and director of the Center for Positive Organizational Scholarship. Welcome, Bob Quinn.
I'm just delighted to be here.
Bob writes, speaks, and teaches, and you write to inspire people to consider ways to make their organizations and their lives more positive. So we thought you'd be the perfect first guest for the segment. You've been doing this for a while. What moved you in the positive direction?
Well, for 40 years, I've been interested in change, and that implies positive. And as the
does year, it?
Well, if you're trying to make it, usually it's positive.
Okay.
As years have gone by, we've become more and more focused on the notion of positive change. We all love and hate change. If it's something we really want, it's easy, we're all for it. If it's something that requires some hard work, we may have some second thoughts.
I think about life and happiness, and I have decided that it all comes down to perspective. But you're the doctor, you're the professional, you've been speaking on this for 40 years. What can you add to that?
I'd never argue with a woman who's thought that hard. Right?
Well, a very bright man, that we're seeing that right there. You share your views on this.
Well, I think that your notion of perspective is very much a part of it. We're trained by our culture from the time we're born to scan for threat. We live in fear more than we admit. It blinds us to all kinds of things, and we're surrounded by resources we don't see or take advantage of.
Literally, a lot of people deal with fight or flight that you just referred to. What you decide to focus on is how you feel and how your life goes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that if you look at the research on post-traumatic growth and related areas, fight or flight's the first reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But the good things happen when people begin to grow through the trauma, the problems. And it's at that point they make discoveries about themselves that they didn't know previously, that down there there's all these good things. And as we get in touch with that, we transform. We see ourselves more positively. We look at some of the other people around us, and we see potential in them that we didn't see before.
What are some of the tools to make that happen?
There's lots of research these days on contemplation, pondering, becoming mindful. And there's great power in that practice and other practices as well.
There's great power in becoming mindful. And by that, do you also mean self-awareness?
Yeah, very much so. I think that when those traumas come and they push us beyond anything that we could have imagined doing, that's when we become aware of the power that's inside us. Joseph Campbell once said, the hero returns from the hero's journey empowered and empowering to others. And I love that sentence.
I follow Bob Quinn on Twitter, and I'm going to be quoting you back to you here a few times. You recently wrote about keeping a gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some of the benefits of that.
The research on gratitude has just exploded, and the outcomes from practicing gratitude are extensive. You know, happier life, longer life, all kinds of things that we all want. The challenge is, how do you get started in something like that?
So tell us how.
Well, I'll tell you how I started.
Okay.
I started keeping a gratitude journal 5 years ago. I went to a meeting one day. There was a woman sitting there that I knew for a little while. And she said, you know, I kept a gratitude journal for 18 months. And we all went, oh. And then she said, and then I quit. And we all went, oh. And she said, no, you don't understand. Let me tell you a story. She said, my father was the most negative man who's ever walked this earth. And I was his daughter. If I went to a concert and the musician hit one bad note and the rest was great, the only thing I focused on was that bad note. She said, I got to exposed to the research on gratitude, and I thought, well, I'll take a shot at this. She said within days, she began to notice a difference. She said, the reason I quit writing after 18 months is, she said, I now live in a constant state of gratitude. Now, here's the interesting thing about that story. Many people knew her long ago and told me what a negative woman she was. In my experiences with her, in the shorter term, this is a completely positive woman. I've never heard her say a negative word. Now, notice the claim. Here's a woman claiming that her brain has been completely rewired. She's living a new life.
Through gratitude alone.
Through keeping a gratitude journal. When she told me that story, the next morning I started keeping a gratitude journal.
There, as you said, there's a lot of scientific research on that now, that you sleep better and you can even improve your immune system through gratitude.
Yeah, the list is extensive.
So when you say lives in a constant state of gratitude, can you give us an example of that?
Well, I think what happens is as you scan your previous day for the things that have happened to you and what you want to record that you're grateful for, your eyes change. Over time, you begin to look for things you didn't look for before. Here's an analog. I had a daughter who kept a blog, and it was a humor blog. She'd write very funny things. People loved it. One night, she went to a wedding reception, and this woman walked in wearing the same dress she was wearing. This is normally a disastrous moment. Then a third woman walked in wearing the same dress. This would call for certain negative behaviors. She had to write a blog the next day. She ran up, grabbed the other two women, had someone take a picture of the three of them, and turned the whole thing into a very humorous moment. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
She's scanning the world for humor. She writes about things that are humorous, and then pretty soon she begins creating humor. And I think the same thing holds for gratitude.
Do you believe that you attract what you put out there, the energy you put out there, or the thoughts or the way you act is attracting like-minded people and activities?
Yeah, we have extensive research in the world of leadership. And the first factor that's been shown consistently over 30 years is called idealized influence. What that means translated is living with integrity, showing deep concern to folks, modeling what it is you'd like other people to be. Well, that's an attractor. That's a magnet. That's at the heart of transformational leadership, the ability to help other people transform. And it's been shown over and over and over again. It's not just a philosophy. It's a scientific fact.
You put something out a few weeks ago about leadership at work and positive thinking, and I'm reading you back to you again. Leaders pay great attention to emotions. They work to stimulate feelings of appreciation, gratitude, trust, closeness, concern, compassion, even love at work. Such emotions are associated with optimal performance. So you're talking about emotions at work. Is that a popular theory or thought or practice?
Well, it's absolutely antithetical to the last 50 years at least, which is dominated by analytic reasoning, which, interestingly enough, paradoxically takes us away from performance. You know, it first brings us towards increased performance, but then it breaks down. And people can't see the whole. And the whole includes not only the task to be done, but you and I and our relationship and the feelings in this room. And we know, again, scientifically, when feelings become more positive, the brain functions differently. It pumps more oxytocin. We open up. We associate unlike things. We perform at a higher level. Emotion matters enormously. We now know that. Most people have been systematically trained to eliminate all emotion. It's actually a disastrous condition that we're living in.
We are just kicking off the beginning of a mini conversations, Bob Quinn, and unfortunately we are out of time. You are a professor at University of Michigan Ross School of Business, a publisher of 16 books. Thank you so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU Art and Soul.
Thank you so much.